Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to the Amateur Otaku Podcast. How is everybody doing out there? I am Brandon Alvarado, the Scarlet Fan here, and I'm very excited to be here to talk anime with all you guys and to talk anime with awesome friends, and not just any anime. I am very excited to announce that we are officially covering My Hero Academia as the new show of the season that we are covering here at the Amateur Otaku Podcast. Yes, we're going to be covering season 5. We're starting with this episode where we'll be discussing the first 4 episodes of season 5 of My Hero Academia, but we won't only be covering the anime. We will also be covering the manga, as we know the final arc of the amazing manga by Kore Horikoshi has started. So we're going to be discussing also in spoiler fashion the manga with all you guys out there. So stay tuned for great reviews of the anime episodes every week starting today, and manga chapters as the manga chapters are released. But don't worry, whenever we start talking about the manga chapters, we will give you a huge spoiler alert so that you guys do not get spoiled if you do not want to be, and so that you guys can stay tuned if you want to join the conversation on the ongoing manga, which is of My Hero Academia. And of course, as you guys know, I don't talk about anime just with you guys. I talk with a great group of people. And of course, I am accompanied by the one, the only, the mad, Doc Isaac Wolf. What is up, man?
It's going good. It's going good. I'm just tired. You know, living world of fire.
What is it with you? Oh, see, I was going to ask you, what is it with you in puns? And then I saw that for some reason, your stage name became much larger. The Mad Pun-ish? I can't even read it. Isaac, I'm going to move on from reading your name. And I'm going to bring in our new co-host. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So guys, yes, we have a good friend of ours that loves My Hero Academia as much as we do. I would even say he's probably even more in love with this show than probably most of us, just because he likes the themes and everything. And I love talking about the show with this young man and friend. And I know Isaac loves talking with him too. So we're really excited to bring him along on this journey as we review My Hero Academia every week. And that is the one, the only, All Mike, the novice cinephile, Michael Thomas. What is up, man?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Looking forward to discussing every single episode of My Hero, especially as we get further along in this arc, because it is incredible.
Yes. Yes, it is going to be awesome. It is going to be amazing, and
we can finally call you official co-host for a segment of the show instead of joking about unofficial.
Yes,
Isaac's been doing that joke for about a year now, and he's just willed it into existence, I guess.
Well, I mean, pun is sure. I can't. Isaac, do we need to do this?
Yes, we do. Especially okay. You.
You see, now we could take a vote, though, because you're outnumbered.
That is true.
Nah.
Why do I have a feeling that even then I'm still going to lose? Is that just my destiny?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad that you don't even think twice about.
That's rough, buddy.
Of course.
It is. It's such as my ordinary life. So, thank you guys for joining us at the Amateur Otaku Podcast. We're really excited to talk My Hero Academia with you guys. If you love the content that we do and the way that we review anime, feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to click on that like button, to share with your friends, and to make sure you click on the bell for notifications so you do not miss any streams, you don't miss any coverage, you don't miss any content. Also, if you love us in podcast format, we have a huge archive that will soon be added to the library at Wobam Entertainment because we have partnered with them. You can find the Amateur Otaku Podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found, you can find the Amateur Otaku. But without further ado, we're here to talk anime. We're here to talk My Hero. We're finally here. So, guys, Season 5. It's been a year and 2 months, I think, since the last season, almost, right?
Yeah, I remember when we did our discussion for season 4. That was right around when the pandemic hit the United States.
Yeah, so that was like November, December.
Yep.
Something like that. So it's been like a year and 2 months since we've seen new My Hero Animation. And it's crazy because the manga has just become something so powerful. And so, like, it's been jacked up. Because in contrast, to Attack on Titan, that we get it once a month, or we used to get it once a month because it's just concluded. My Hero, you would get it weekly and sometimes twice a month. And, man, it's been bombastic. And the fact that we've been getting so much My Hero manga and we're finally getting the anime. And, of course, the anime is still one of the best produced anime shows out there. I mean, the animation is pristine. The music is awesome. And I think it's another example, especially in this first episode of the season, the way that they're using the anime to expand everything that has been already told in the manga. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they haven't, they're not just, apart from the fact that episode 89, the first episode of the season, similar to the first episode of season 3, I think they did that as season 3, not in season 4 that much. But on the first episode of the season was not a canon manga episode. It was an anime-only episode. And it was a way of kind of giving us a recap. But this episode is special because it's not really a recap episode as more as it is a introduction to My Hero for everybody involved, whether it's a brand new viewer or someone that is getting reacquainted with the show because of its absence. It feels like I'm being introduced to My Hero again, what the show is about, and the things that a lot of people like. Does that make sense?
For sure, yeah.
What were your thoughts, Mike, on the episode?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed episode 89. I think as far as, you know, the anime-only episodes, it's the best one we've gotten. I did like season 4's first episode. It was a recap episode, mostly. This one's not really a recap. This is just a day in the life of Izuku Midoriya, essentially. And I think that works best because My Hero sometimes forgets the academia part of its title.
Yes.
And so I enjoy seeing, like, Mr. Aizawa just be like, hey, we're having a training exercise today. That's the type of filler that I enjoy because it, like you said, it pads, it builds the world. It reintroduces these characters in a more organic way. Like, some of those quirks, I don't even remember. Some of the characters' names, I don't remember.
Yep.
And so I'm glad they were able to reintroduce us to Class 1A because I feel like the canon episodes are going to have to introduce us to Class 1B. So I'm kind of glad they got that out of the way early.
How about you, Mike? Isaac.
So my name is also Mike now. Now I know that. Okay. But I'm thinking you're pretty much spot on. And this is a filler done right, sort of like with Attack on Titans, whereas sort of, you know, the training arc or whatever you want to call it in the first season, that's not in the manga. This is sort of like filling out, adding on, instead of just changing the whole scenario, like a certain other season that I rant about rather recently. Yes, I have not forgiving them about that one yet. But
Mad Doc, Full Killing.
No.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
But yeah. This is sort of like, quote unquote, filler done right in my book.
Yeah.
Going back to Attack on Titan. So I'm an anime only on Attack on Titan, and I'm still a little bit behind on this last season. I did not realize there was any filler in Attack on Titan, and so the fact that you mentioned that shows how well they did it. And I feel like somebody, like Brandon said, watching My Hero for the first time or haven't watched the series or read the manga in the last year it's been away, this is a really good reintroduction to the characters and the world. It feels like a pilot. It feels like...
Yes.
Yeah, it feels like a pilot on what it feels, to expect.
You know what it feels like? It's funny you say pilot. It feels like you haven't seen Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and suddenly you're watching The Amazing Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Right. Like you're watching the first episode or the first movie in a different, and the same characters in a different light or interpretation. But a simple observation, which is, I think it's good that you brought the Attack on Titan example, because I know that you're an anime only person, and actually I sound like kind of rough. You're an anime only viewer, but Attack on Titan has no fillers. Like Attack on Titan is pure story. From start to finish on the book and on the show.
I mean, Attack on Titan, in the sense that it's not a part of the manga.
Yeah, right. Which Attack on Titan doesn't have that. They don't have fillers in that sense. And like everything that you see on the anime is what's on the book. There's nothing more than that.
No, the only thing that when they are training in that first arc, that's not in manga or anime.
But then again, good thing that you mentioned that, but it's not a filler. It's more of an expansion on,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right. That's, and you're 100% right.
I think we're getting caught up on the difference between filler and manga and anime canon.
No, and it's a good conversation because, for example, I think it all goes back to the idea that there's a lot of shows that do filler wrong. There's a lot of shows that use the idea of filler literally to fill as opposed to expand the world. This is one of those episodes that expands the world. And I think one of the best and most fun things about it is that they found a way to incorporate not only every single character of Class 1A and a day in the life of all of them doing training exercises. They brought back the superstars of Season 4.
Exactly.
They found a way to bring back Lemillion, they found a way to bring back Mirio, they found a way to bring back Akimaji, they found a way of bringing up like those big threes, you know what I mean, and give them a role that's fun, and you coming to know these characters that were badasses on that arc against Overhaul, so it was a great way of tying those knots together, and as opposed to being something that just, you know, and I think especially with the way season four ended, with that big moment of where we start seeing in more clear light the preview of what the vestiges of One For All are going to be, I think this is the best way to start the season as opposed to jumping straight into that.
I definitely agree, and
it eases you into everything.
Definitely. It eases you into it. And I really appreciate them bringing in the big three like that, because they aren't that important in, as far as Class 1A is concerned, in the sense that they're not in their class.
Exactly.
And work studies are over and internships are over. So it's a good way to kind of remind us who they are and easily phase them out.
Yep.
Because one thing, reading this in the manga, it's kind of jarring how Mirio kind of disappears for a little bit, you know? Yes. And so having him pop up here, it's like, okay, well, he's still around, I guess.
No, and he's fun.
Yeah.
And he's a fun character to witness and to enjoy. So that's actually very fun that happened. It was a very good, cool episode. The cool thing about it also, it's not just the fact that it was a cool episode, is that you kind of get a glance of some of the things that they're going to start to deal with. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of Deku holding back because of the kind-hearted soul that he is, and Bakugo being this rough person that is willing to do what needs to be done because of the task at hand. And it shows like the difference of characters, and especially now that we've read the manga, that we know what Deku's doing now, you can kind of see how those seeds are being put on there towards what the next step of Deku's character development is going to be. I think because we can all agree that that moment between Sun Eater and Deku, where where Deku has to hear from a fellow hero playing villain that there's no reason why you should have held back.
Which is interesting. And I watched this with my sister and she saw that. And she's like, isn't that kind of out of character for Deku since he's Mr. Break His Fingers a million times? Why would he choose to hold back now? And like you said, I think it's building to some of the decisions he ends up making later on.
Yeah.
Coming into play, just showing the slight change in mindset, which I appreciate. That's, again, how you expand on the world instead of just having a filler episode just to exist for no reason.
Yeah. Now, this episode takes us straight into manga territory, straight into the following, which is going to be Vestiges, which is, it's, this is kind of interesting because, does anybody know what vestige means? I've never heard this word until I started reading My Hero. According to Vestige, it's a trace of something that is disappearing or no longer exists. And it's interesting how that particular theme kind of, it's not just talking about the traces of the different users of One For All, which is the kind of thing that we're starting to understand, but the idea of how the vestige of All Might is being felt through the world. How that image of the symbol of peace is starting to deteriorate, and how different it is the fact that Endeavor is the figure that's supposed to fill that up. I'm very excited for Endeavor's arc, just because not only because I've read the manga, but because I think up to this point we know of Endeavor the asshole, and not Endeavor.
That's one way to put it.
Or Endeavor the troubled man. And I kind of like the fact that we started seeing glimpses of this during the training arc with Shoto and Bakugo in season 4.
Yeah.
And now the fact that we're seeing this head on. And I don't know. I'm just excited. I'm excited with everything that was introduced here. Like, the confrontation between Dobby, Endeavor, and Hawks, the introduction of, what's the name of her? Mirko?
Dude, she's the best character in the series.
She's
one of the name.
Yes, no, she's awesome. She is awesome. Her introduction here, the idea of Hawks, the idea of secret agent Hawks, or Hawks agent of, I don't know, I don't want to say Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but
pretty much.
Yeah. Hawks is just such an awesome character. I love that they're setting all these things up. The idea of infiltrating the League of Villains, the idea that Hawks was a fan of Endeavor. And I think this is not a spoiler because we already saw it in the anime. But do you guys like what they're doing, that they're kind of bringing plot points that occur later on in the manga earlier now because it benefits the story scenes that they're exposing or using or interpreting? How do you guys feel about this? And what I mean by this is, for example, we found out that Hawks kind of admires Endeavor. Like, we're getting glimpses of that, which is a big thing that we learned later on. But now they're making it like he has an Endeavor doll and he looks up to him and he kind of lets eyes sparkle when they see Endeavor. That's similar to how Deku or Izuku eyes sparkled when he saw All Might. Endeavor was that hero for Hawks. Seeing that now, how do you guys feel about that? I'd like it. Isaac?
Honestly, I think that's work considering how they think up that part.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can chain switch around and all that, yes, but you need to figure out the approach how you want to do it, so to speak. You can't just switch around just for the sake of switching around and do it in some still image format. Okay, sorry. This is not that episode again. Still, but I think they are executing the whole idea of changing around stuff. Good. Sort of going back to the whole adding training scenarios to the Attack on Titan anime that right. wasn't in the manga.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that it's not exactly a one-to-one to the manga by... don't change the overall story, but,
right.
shifting things here and there work. Horikoshi, the creator of this entire series, he himself said that he likes it when the anime and the manga sort of have this synergy going on between them. So things that are happening in this season will probably affect what's happening in the current manga story and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm cool with that. It does add a little wrinkle, though, that's kind of interesting. Not trying to spoil it, but him being a fan of Endeavor is great. I don't know if anime onlys should know that just yet, because they didn't get to see how Endeavor's story unfolds later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that doesn't, change how they view Hawks and Endeavor, because I think you need that backstory. And going back to what you said about the episode being titled Vestiges, I like how it's not just the symbol of All Might or what's going on with Deku. It's also the Todoroki family.
Yes.
Yes. They're barely holding it together. And this episode actually just came out this week for the dub. And so I rewatched it. And that scene is so incredible because we see how each Todoroki child processes their trauma, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Shoto is kind of just out of it. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was just going to say, they need some solid family counseling, that's for sure.
They need to see Sam Wilson. That's what I've learned from all of this.
Damn. Talk about crossing the streams, bro. Well said. You mean the real Captain America? I'm sorry.
Right, Uncle Sam.
Damn.
No, but Shoto, he's not quite ready to forgive Endeavor, but he's open to it, which is
yes.
a far cry from what we see in season two. This season is going to have a lot of parallels and connections to season two, which I think is great.
Yes.
But then you see Natsuo basically where Shoto was in season two, not mm-hmm. wanting to have anything to do with them. And then you see Fuyumi, who is open to forgiveness. And it's like they're all at different stages and they have to figure out how to come together and make this work.
Well, the interesting thing is, I think the layer with Fuyumi is not that she's open to forgiveness. She is just the child that wants to see their family together, which is beyond just forgiveness. Yes. Is the idea of she wants to keep her family or wants to feel that she has a family, which is something that, which is a different layer. You know what I mean? Which I think it's good to see, especially as the mother's going to be later introduced and stuff like that. But yeah, I agree with you, man. It's a lot to look forward to, especially because it's so smart how Shoto is one of those characters that became a huge beloved character from the very beginning. And I know that a lot of people were concerned when you barely saw him in season three and there was very little of him in season four. But now we understand why. Because Horikoshi had big plans for him, probably from very early on, but also probably taking advantage that it was one of those characters that was just beloved from the beginning. Just because of his demeanor and stuff like that. But giving him such a huge and powerful arc is so powerful. Similar to what happened with Bakugo. Bakugo is, I think, it's one of the more interesting characters of the show, especially because of the role that he gets to play. Because he is the bad boy, but he is a hero at heart. And also the way that he's linked to everything going on with Izuku and all that stuff. It's just very interesting. I think the way he handles characters, and I think part of me wants to say, similar to how Isayama kind of plays with audiences' expectation of where a story's going to go, I think Horikoshi has found a way that within this very common world of superheroes or superhero storytelling to play a lot with what we expect is going to happen by using characters very differently. within a world that has become something very common to most people. Does that make sense? Like, I think the way he's taking, the direction he's taking different characters, the topics that he's allowing himself to explore and discuss is very interesting. And I like how as the season progresses and the manga progresses, we know that the show gets a lot more serious. And I like that it's happening with family drama, which is actually very good. And it just feels right, because it's a way of paying honesty. He's doing justice to the characters, because you cannot have a character that has family drama from the beginning and not address it. And he's not addressing it in the way like, oh, his dad's a dick, so he's always a dick. No. There's a reason his parents are a dick, and we're gonna try and figure out why he doesn't want to be a dick anymore. You know what I mean? Like, which is super cool.
Yeah, and going back to season two, like, I've been rewatching season two because I have friends who are watching it for the first time, so I'm nice. Happy to be present.
Nice.
So rewatching that, I see how they're reacting to Endeavor in that arc, and they just hate him.
Yes.
And the way Endeavor acts in that arc, I totally get it. It's like, I hated him too.
Yes.
Because he's standing there saying, you're my masterpiece. This is why I created you. And it sounds like a villain.
Yes. You know?
And I like the subtlety, though, of his growth, because even in season four, he tells Shoto, I want to be somebody who makes you proud. And it's like, over the course of the entire anime, we've been getting hints that he's trying to change. And now we're finally putting that at the forefront of the story. So much so that you kind of forget that Izuku had this whole nightmare thing in the last half of this episode.
Yep. Yep, which is awesome that he had that. And did you guys notice that that the anime expanded a lot more than the manga ever did?
Yeah.
Because we never got that conversation between One for All and All for One in the manga. All that's new. And I don't know, but it's so interesting. I feel that we're getting different layers to One for All, to All for One, mm-hmm. and different layers to the first wielder, to the point that something that's very drastically different from the manga is that we kind of know that that's how it happened, but we never see All for One giving his brother One for All. But we saw it here, which is so interesting.
Yeah, and it changes the context to everything. Even as a manga reader, it's like, yeah, that changes how I view certain aspects that play out later.
Which makes you think that maybe Horikoshi has a similar approach to the anime version of the show as Isayama had, which Isayama always said that he wanted the anime to be the definitive version of Attack on Titan. Maybe there's something that Horikoshi is trying to achieve with My Hero as well.
I think so, especially with that movie coming out later. But we could talk about that another time.
Ooh, that's going to be interesting. So we have the visages. We have all those things. I'm really excited to see the effects of the visages, which is coming up very soon. I'm really excited about that. Isaac, any more on this episode?
No, you're pretty much being spot on about it. When we were on Geekly Goods, the whole family, I think they are executing the whole family drama so good that at some points it's more interesting than a general plot in my book. Honestly.
Yeah. 100%.
Especially in this arc. As much as I love the vestiges, as far as Deku's concerned, I am way more interested in the Todoroki side of this story.
Yes. I would even say it's not till further along in the manga that to me, like, it's not till the stage where we're at now in the manga that to me the vestiges sound a lot more interesting.
So season 7.
Yes, exactly. Coming to a theater near you in 5 years. So we're finally here. We're finally at the training arc. It is another tournament-like kind of thing. We have Class A and Class B clashing once more. Group setting, teams, handicap. This is awesome. This is great. Yes, there's a good the good part of the episode is Izuku talking about this with All Might. And All Might, of course, finding himself with no answers.
He is the worst teacher ever.
Yes. But something that's beautiful. We see All Might in superhero form in a form where he just got All for One, which we never saw before. We see him with his original suit, rocking a hairdo that's interesting. He looks like he looks a lot like what he used to look. I mean, he looks like a healthy version of thin All Might. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because he's still a teenager at this point, right? He's probably like in his third year at UA at this point.
Right. And he does have All for One. He does have One for All, but it looks like he had One for All for a while, even while his master was alive.
Yeah, I like that shot.
Yes,
especially seeing Nana floating there. That's just really powerful.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but I also like. I want to see a little bit more of that. Hopefully, we could do that in an OVA or something. But it's just like. All Might has this rare chance that Deku never got of being able to go on patrol with the person who gave him One for All.
Yeah.
Deku, aside from the movie, never had any time with All Might like that.
Right. Apart from two heroes, he really doesn't have. Yeah.
Horikoshi made two heroes.
Which is why two heroes, to me, it's like just like I cry in the first two episodes of My Hero every time I watch them. Whenever I see Deku and All Might take on Japanese Magneto, I tear up. You know what I mean? Because it's just awesome. Especially when they're running side by side each other and they're like mimicking their moves and whatever.
That's Double just Detroit Smash is perfection.
Yeah, it is perfection. It is so perfection that it becomes Texas. So. No, not Texas. Detroit Rock City. But yes, it's awesome. And but I like that it starts with that, and I like how this is the kind of episode. The fact that it continues the previous Vestiges as conversation, I feel that I enjoy it a lot more because the season didn't just jump in onto the Vestiges thing. Like I feel that I'm feeling the effects of the soft kickoff even now. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's just flowing a lot better. But of course, the main event.
Hold on. Before we get to the main event, I just want to say something right quick. I forgot about the last episode. I just think it's hilarious how they had like this 4-minute conversation about Hawks being a villain. And then they just said, nah. Because I'm sitting here with my sister. She's watching it. She's just like, oh, Hawks is a villain? And she's like, I like Hawks. I like Hawks so much. And then like 2 minutes pass. It's like, so we need you to infiltrate the League of Villains. And just seeing her deflate was the most perfect thing ever. And it's just funny watching anime onlys react to that moment. Because it just goes by so quick. He thought they would have dragged that out a little bit more.
But I like how they're making it so we don't get distracted for what's coming.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we know there's a lot more to this.
For sure.
Mike. Yes. Her reaction like that is sort of is sort of like when you wrote to me that that guy was Aaron. I was bursting out laughing when I saw you typing that, if I'm being honest.
Oh, because you started watching Attack on Titan season 4?
Yeah, I texted.
Yeah.
I was watching it. I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. No, especially that episode where that it ends with the close-up. Yeah.
So good. I can't wait to finish this season tomorrow.
Let's not cross the streams, people.
Sorry.
I was, no, it's I was all just good. Thinking it, about that when you awesome. Said how when you
it's moments like Hero that that kind of make me regret reading the My Hero manga. I still love it. Best comic I'm reading, but yeah. That's why I'm not going to read Attack on Titan. I thought about it, but I think I'm just going to wait.
I don't blame you. It might be good because of everything going on in the way the manga ends and everything. So, not that it's bad, but yeah. But yeah, I think even though the episode's called Clash Class A versus Class B, that's not the main event. The main event is Shinzo. And I like how he's introduced. We're reintroduced to his powers. I would say, you know what? Let's just jump into the next episode, I think.
Because yeah, this is a lot of setup. This is where all the action happens.
So make it happen, Shinzo. I think this episode, similar to Mirio's introduction at the end of season 3 and picking up season 4, I think I love this character now. Like, I really enjoy this character. Mm-hmm. And I feel that in the anime, and because it's anime, of course, and because of his abilities and how they work, and the persona cords and all that stuff, I kind of appreciate his quirk a lot more than what it was when I was reading it. But what a fun character, and what a very smart way to use a quirk that is one of those quirks you really need to be creative to make it effective.
Yeah, and that's I love that voice changer. That's a great addition.
Yeah, and the fact that Horikoshi would think of that is the kind of thing that I think is pretty awesome. Isaac, what are your thoughts? Shinzo. Cool? Not cool?
I don't know about Shinzo. Cute, but when I saw... I don't know about cute, but I don't know if it was deliberate as a just fun thing, considering his quirk isn't exactly... I can go out and fight villains like any other superhero because I'm super strong or anything. You know, he has got some similar demeanor than Shota has with a whole scarf and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Or if that's, I hate saying it, but if that's a subtle way to for... into saying that he's going to take over the role of Eraserhead, so to speak, at the end of the manga slash anime, and that Shota is going to get axed off later in the story, honestly.
Can you stop suggesting that they're going to kill Eraserhead? How dare you? How dare you? No, but you know what? I can see what you're saying, but can we... I mean, we don't have to kill him off. I mean, look at Guy. Guy became a cripple, and we got Lee. We didn't have to kill off. I mean, not that I want to make Aizawa a cripple.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? No, stop. Okay, so.
I'm just going to say pineapples. This. I'm just going to say this. You know, since we're talking about Naruto. You know how Sasuke, Sakura, and Naruto are basically the new Sannin, right? That's what I think might end up happening, where Deku's All Might, Shoto's Endeavor, Shinzo's Aizawa. Yeah. Not necessarily somebody having to get killed off. At least I hope not.
I mean, someone's got to die.
See what I mean? I mean, his demeanor, his scarf and all that, it just screams.
But
that's intentional.
No, and you know what's funny? But yeah, because he's the disciple. You know what I mean? But what I like about it also is that I think one of the very interesting ways that they're portraying the character, which is why I'm waiting to see a lot more of him, is the fact that, yes, he's like Aizawa is definitely his mentor because he has the binding cloth and the mask and whatever. but he doesn't only have the binding call. Did you guys notice that he also has he also has the eye sores?
Yeah.
Like apparently he don't sleep either.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're training at like 1 a.m. because Aizawa has to teach, watch these kids all day, take care of Eri.
Yep.
Take Shoto to family dinner.
Well, Mirio's with Eri. We know that Mirio's with Eri. But yes, correct. So it's all that. It's all that and more. But what I like also about it, and here is the smart, or here is the importance of costume design. Okay. One of the things that happens in the previous episode is the idea that everyone's costume has changed, has morphed, has evolved, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you notice that Shinzo is the only one wearing UA tights?
Yeah. So I would assume that's because he's not in the hero course, therefore he didn't get a costume yet.
I would say it's because he hasn't designed one. So that means it tells you also this, because one of the things that they make a point to make, and that sounds way too much words, but it's the fact that, no, that wasn't a pun on Jinzo. It's the fact that he has a lot to learn. So his identity is something that's still in development. So he's drawing from different areas. He's learning from every person that surrounds him. He's learning something. And he's adjusting and he's assimilating. So we have not seen Shinzo's hero form. We just know him as Shinzo. And we know, you know? So which is why I think him having the hero tights is very important. Like, the only thing that he has that's distinctive is the mask.
It's kind of reminiscent to another character who was taken under the wing of a UA teacher, you know, like five seasons ago.
Yes. No, that ended up cleaning all the trash because he believes in green, which is funny because he ends up with a green suit. And why are we talking about the environment?
Yeah, I like how he's kind of been taken under Aizawa's wing, though, because that, again, shows you how flawed the entrance exam is.
Yes.
Because he can't mind control robots, so therefore he can't get in. That's kind of messed
up. Correct. And you know what's funny now that you mentioned that? And I know we're going on a tangent, but how interesting is this? What you just said makes me think that's what happens when your symbol of peace is a power type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even some of the kids who are in class 1A, like, you mean to tell me Toru Hagakure was able to destroy enough robots to get into this course? She's invisible. How did she just fight all these robots? No.
And can we go out of the way of understanding that she's always naked?
That's something that this episode reminded us of. Everybody has their new costume.
Aren't you cold? Like... Yes, I'm very cold. Okay. Okay.
She's going to have to just work in the summer, I guess.
Yes. oh, my God.
I do wonder if she is going to be a sort of like, what's the name of the X-Men member that can go through walls and all that? Yes.
Oh, Mirio Togeta.
Wow.
Because I wonder if she sort of ends like her, that she has gets a physical form, but she can... become invincible instead whenever she wants to.
That's
something I've...
Possibly. We could talk more about that in the manga discussion.
Yeah.
But also, Mirio's suit is made from his hair, which is why he can use Teffei's. So, assuming Toru's not bald, they might be able to do that, though it'd be really hard to put together because you can't see what you're working with.
Well, you know, there's thermal. So, let's stop talking about invisible ladies. And
God,
oh my!
Yes, this became very dark very quickly. Erotic. So, Shinzo is a very awesome character.
Oh my! Too early.
Yes, you did, George Takei. Shinzo is an awesome character. I love how he does his thing in this episode. I love how members like Kaminari and Zuyu are able to shine. I love Zuyu. Can I say that, like, out of all the girls out of class 1A, Zuyu's like my favorite.
She's the best.
And she's like so smart. And she's like calm, collected. She's a great tactician. Her powers are very interesting. And I love how something that, yes, from the first look of it, you see her using that toxic mucus and you're like, ugh. But the fact that they don't, did you know how, like, and this is something that has to do with direction. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that they didn't linger on the mucus to make it feel gross.
Yeah, because in this world, that is her quirk. And I appreciate that we got the flashback all the way to season one to remind us of that.
Yes.
It was a great moment between Midoriya and Mineta, because you don't see that interaction between those two that
exactly much. Which is also like the cool thing that happened, like, in the previous episode. Do you have that little bit of interaction between like going back to that friendship between Midoriya and Naval Laser, or whatever his name is?
Aoyama, yeah.
Yeah, so like those little things make it shine, because at the end of the day, you can have all these supporting characters, but if they don't interact with your main cast, you kind of lose sight of them. But I like how this show, as it grows, it doesn't lose that touch. So you can still, you know, have these strong supporting characters, and those lesser characters connect and find meaning between everything that's going on. It was a great battle episode. The powers of Class 1B are interesting, but of course, Shinzo stole the show, and I want to see more of Shinzo, and there's a lot more of Shinzo coming, because there will be a rematch or a new encounter between Izuku and Shinzo, and that's going to be an awesome episode. Yeah. So yeah.
I just want to point out, the animation in this episode is beautiful. I think it is one of the best animated since season two, at least. Like, the colors were sharp. The action was so fluid and quick. I appreciate that they put that much effort into an episode that didn't feature Deku or Bakugo fighting.
Yes.
And if that's the quality they're going to approach this season with, this is going to easily be the best season of My Hero Academia. I also like the new direction that they're going. I don't know if you guys noticed, but like, Froppy does a kick and it says thwomp. It has like these comic panels.
Yes.
60s yes. Batman explode. Like, even in the first episode, we didn't mention it, but Bakugo blows up Sun Eater and the smoke cloud is just a skull.
Yes.
I love those little touches, because it makes the show feel fresh, and it makes it more, at least visually, interesting. My Hero Academia, I love it, but sometimes the action scenes can be a little flat. But adding those little characteristics, I think, is really great. And especially like seeing Kaminari, seeing how he's using his electricity power. And he's not going stupid anymore. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but...
Or at least less stupid, or we don't see it going stupid that much.
Yeah.
Because we know it can still happen if he overloads, but he's learning how to...
But he, like, used his power, like, three times this episode, and I don't think it happened to him once.
Well, because he didn't go full blast.
Yeah.
He's controlling everything, which is awesome. And you know what? And to that sense that you're saying, and I know we've mentioned Attack on Titan a lot in this episode, and I think it's good that we do that, because Attack on Titan and My Hero are very different shows. Because Attack on Titan, of course, is going for that realistic approach to the animation, or at least to how they approach the action. They want it to feel grounded, even though it's a fantastic, fantastic scenario. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I like how My Hero does not lose touch with the fact that this is a comic book. This is supposed to feel like a comic book. It's not that it's childish, but it is supposed to feel like you're watching animation. You're not, even though it's serious topics and stuff like that, it's supposed to have that animated flair, because it is animated. You know what I mean? Which is why I think which is why I think, for example, Naruto is one of those shows that as the seasons progressed, the animation became a lot more sophisticated, like by a lot. Yeah. My Hero is doing that, but in different ways. They're cleaning the colors, but it still has that playful animated look. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's still very stylized too, which correct. I appreciate.
Yes. Yes. Love the colors. Yes. Isaac, do you got anything else here?
No. Yeah, because I think you are pretty much being spot on the whole thing.
So, guys, we've talked to anime. We're caught up. Guys, thank you for those that enjoyed listening to us in the anime. If you have any comments or questions, let us know in the comments below. We will continue talking about the anime next week. But the episode's not over. This is your one and only spoiler alert, because we're going to start talking about the manga. Now, we just covered the first four episodes of season 5 of the anime. It was awesome for four episodes. But also this week, we got the latest episode, the latest chapter of My Hero Academia. My Hero is right now starting the final arc of the manga. Literally on chapter 306 at the end, there was a banner that actually said the final act begins. And spoiler alert, guys, we're going to start spoiling the manga right now. There's a lot that's going on, and I can't wait to talk about it. This is your final spoiler warning. If you want to leave, it's okay. We won't hate you. We understand.
We'll see you next week, anime onlys.
Have it awesome, guys. Manga people stay. And guys, so chapter 307 shows us a world that's desolate. There's a time skip. Nobody knows how long it's been. Some people say it's a year. Some people say it's 2 months. It don't matter. The world feels abandoned in comparison to what's happened before. Ever since the war against Shigaraki came to a hold or standstill and all the villains were released from the prisons, people are fending for themselves. Hero Society has almost completely crashed. And Deku has left UA because he feels the weight of One for All and how him being Shigaraki's target can put those who he cares about in danger. And in 307, we saw a little bit of how the world looks. And we're reintroduced to a villain that we met on season 3, which is Muscular. And he's rampaging. He is about to kick the ass of a young new third year hero until he is saved by a very dashing and powerful figure, which is Deku, wearing his full suit, new suit, and mask for the first time in the manga. Or I think we see him with a mask on, I think, at the beginning when he first, but he never really uses the mask. Now he's really using it. He's really trying to hide his identity. And it's not till now, chapter 308, that we see this new Deku in action. Guys, Deku is showing his hero form. Oh my God, this is awesome. Guys, You guys read the same chapter I did. Isaac, you first. Thoughts on Deku Muscular, this battle. Speak.
It's sort of like you're going back to the whole when I was on over at the Riddell's channel of Geekly Goods. You know how I sort of get Batman.
Yeah.
What's the apocalyptic story with Batman again?
Apocalyptic? Like, do you mean Dark Knight Returns or?
No. Gotham must become
No Man's Land
and all that. No Man's Land. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
It's sort of like you got that feeling. Got that feeling within the fight that he isn't as rough and seasoned as Batman is that way, but in that comic book, but it's sort of like it's still to some degree I have enough of this yes, I'm going to kick your ass like no tomorrow sort of thing. Yep. While still being Deku. Does yep. that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
There's a determination in his stance that we're not used to see him as calm as collected in the heat of battle. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Sort of, yeah.
Like Batman is always the one that no matter how difficult the situation is, he always keeps his cool. He's always calculating. He's always trying to be one step ahead. Whether he's fighting a powered or a non-powered person. Like, he's always that person. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of Batman vibes here. There's a lot of great stuff here. Mike, speak. Talk to me.
So, yeah, this entire thing is insane. Just to get the time period down, I rewatched the end of season 4 and Deku ends the season saying that December is upon us. So with that in mind, I think we are within that same, you know, season. So this is April of the following year. So it's been about 5 months since season 4 of the anime. But Deku being a nomad, essentially, right? Leaving yeah. UA is insane. Yeah. And I love that evolution for his character. I also like how they tie back to two heroes, which I did not expect, of Deku and his gauntlets, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great touch. I'm interested to see how this arc plays out because it looks like the kids are trying to take over as heroes. We had Shindo, who we saw in season 3 during their provisional license exams. And so I wonder how that's going to play out. Like, will we see Bakugo and Todoroki working again as Endeavor sidekicks, you know? And that's what I mean by, like, the movie tying back to the anime, and he's trying to have that synergy. We reintroduce Endeavor's agency arc later on this season in the anime, and so that will probably play a role here as well. I think we're going to see them either try and go after Deku or something like that, because there is no way I think All Might and Deku leave and Bakugo just takes that, you know? No. I was really surprised not seeing Bakugo in this arc. I mean, in this chapter.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think Deku left All Might as well. So I would say it's more going to be Bakugo and All Might trying to get Deku back.
Ah, that would make sense. That would be really interesting turn for Deku's character, because him doing anything without All Might is...
But then again, here's the biggest thing that I think happens. The biggest thing is not just the re-encounter with Muscular. The big thing, what I love about this chapter is that this chapter was a showcase of who Deku is right now.
And, it goes back to what we said, like Isaac was saying on Leo's live stream a couple weeks back. Deku is visualizing his quirks as support items, which I think is the most Deku thing he could do.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, that is what I was telling you before. I don't know if it was even during a recording, but like, I'm glad we get to see that analytical side of Deku return. You know, him analyzing the situation, him even saying, Muscular, I'd want to understand you. Why are you doing this?
No, but not only that. The layer that they added here, which is what I mentioned earlier in this pod about the vestiges, the fact that he's in constant communication with all of them now.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's able to do the avatar trance while staying alive and interact and speak with them as he's in the heat of battle and using the powers. Yeah. That is so interesting. Yeah, and like, we just saw someone for the first time that we've never seen before, which we don't even know who he is yet. So now he has smoke screen.
That's a new quirk that we didn't even hear about. So it makes me wonder, does he have the other two, right? There's two left.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. I never did the math until I saw the anime. So there's 8 quirks total, or actually 7 quirks.
Yeah.
And we've only seen 4. We've seen Float, Danger Sense, Smokescreen, one for, oh, we've seen 5. We've seen Black Whip. So there's 2 that we haven't seen.
Right.
Because we got to assume that the original user only had one for all.
Yeah, he was quirkless. They confirmed that.
And then, no, it's actually, so it's 7. So, well, it's actually, well.
There's 2 left because All Might and Deku didn't have quirks to contribute.
Oh, so we got to assume that, we got to assume then that one, that the original wielder is not considered a user.
He's considered a user. It's just his quirk is one for all.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. I feel that because if you do the math, you're saying there's 2 left, right?
Right.
So if Deku's the 9th user and there's 2 left, then we got to exclude All Might and Deku. So you got 7 left and you got to exclude the original owner. You see what I'm saying? Because we've seen 5 already. So we got to assume that one for all is the power, right? That has just been building. You got Float, you got Smokescreen, Danger Sense, Black Whip, and then, well, that's 4. That's 5. Float. There's 6. So there's 6 quirks. Yeah, 6 quirks, 3. Yeah, okay, now it makes sense. So it's 6 quirks, not 7. It's 6 quirks. Mm. Am I doing the math right? Does it make sense what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Black Whip, 1. Float, 2. Smokescreen, 3. One for all, 4. All Might didn't have a quirk. Deku didn't have a quirk. So that means they should be 2 or 3 left, right?
Danger Sense. You forgot Danger Sense.
Danger Sense. Yeah, so there should be 2 left.
Which is the 2 people that we saw, like, were facing a wall, probably.
Who were facing the wall and who in this, in the anime, are blurred out. Yeah.
Right, right. So
what you're saying is that they're going to have the Jump Force being canon and some Goku training him and say he can become Super Saiyan and use Kamehameha.
Well, Kamehameha and the Rasengan are the last 2, aren't they?
What I'm going to say is if I hear Isuku go, ah! I'm going to lose it.
I mean,
I do Goku, not need. And I don't need key charging here. No key charging.
Sengoku is willing to train in Light Yagami in Jump Force. So it shouldn't be a problem.
Isaac, can we stop acknowledging Jump Force?
Please.
For the love of All Might.
I just had to joke about it. Sorry.
No, but I love how Muscular is basically just the jobber. He's the measuring stick, right?
Yes.
Like, in season 3, you see Deku struggle, break his arms multiple times, barely escape with his life. And this is when he just folds him like a lawn chair.
Yep. Not only that, the thing that he says at the end of the chapter, and this is my full power. So are we to understand or assume that he's at 100 now?
I would say so, because again, he has those gauntlets that he has on his arms. I assume that those are something that may Hatsume gave him, so that's probably very reminiscent to what he had in Two Heroes.
Yeah,
that's probably letting him output at a higher, you know, power level.
Right.
He was
right.
Already at 45, right? I think last we saw.
Well, like, you mean like towards the Shigaraki arc?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. But the fact that now that he's in constant communication. So look at it this way. So what they're letting us know is that the lack of communication with the previous users were part of the reasons why he couldn't handle the power. But now that he's connected to them, he's now become more able to withstand the power of One for All.
And that goes back to, again, that synergy I was talking about between the anime and the manga.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when he first meets the first user, he straight up in this episode tells him, you're only at 20%.
Yes.
He said, I want to show you more. Did he say that in that same point in the manga? Because I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
And so it's like, is that him just them saying just right off the bat, once he's gets in contact with them, he's going to see a rapid increase?
Probably.
Because we see him go from 5% to 8%, and then he just like skyrockets to 20, 45, you know, 50.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
It's awesome. But yeah, everything with Muscular, the way he kind of beats him that way, the way he's analytical, the way he uses all different powers, it's a different animal. And I am going to say this. It is very Batman that whenever he's wearing the Deku mask, his eyes go black with a red with a yellow center.
Yeah, that's very reminiscent of what All Might's eyes look like too. So yeah. I wonder if he, when you get to a certain percentage, do your eyes just like start glowing? Kind of like Green Lantern, John Stewart. He used the ring so much it affected his eyes, so they glow green.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's sweet. A great touch. I mean, and go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have something going on there with the whole eyes thing.
It's such a great comic book move too, because we see the mask get pulled off and his eyes are back to normal.
Yep.
And so it's like, yeah, that's how Batman's mask works too, so that's pretty cool.
Yes,
it's interesting to see how long this will last though, because in a book called Boku no Hero Academia, how long can Deku stay away from the academia? You know, the academy. So does he ever go back to UA? Also, I assume we'll see Shinso soon, because there's a free spot now in that class.
Probably.
I wonder how that's just going to play out, because how long can Deku be alone? I guess he's technically not alone with those other users constantly helping him out, but that's a twist I did not expect from this series.
But I think it makes sense for his character and everything that was going on with him. You know what I mean?
For sure. Also, since we're in the manga part, I thought I'd bring this up now. I think it's kind of interesting in the anime. The opening and the ending themes are so chill, because that is the last time these kids will ever have peace.
Damn. Kinda.
Yeah, damn. It's like the calm before the storm.
Yes.
It's like, if you read the manga, you know what's about to hit. It's like, oh, it makes me cry seeing Midnight laugh in the intro like that.
Yep. 100%. It's sad, bro. It is so sad the way that that's going to happen. I do not disagree with you.
That's one thing that should be interesting, to see how the anime only fans going to react.
What, to all the death and destruction that's about to hit them in like 10 episodes?
Exactly. I mean, just look at how Twitter exploded during the going back to Attack on Titans, but
how don't spoil me just in case.
I was just saying that how they reacted for each episode. That's what I mean, because it trended on Twitter for a good chunk of I would arguably almost say a day or two, just because it was such a big deal on exactly what happened. I'm not going to say it plot point by plot point, so to speak, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially the second arc. That's going to be really interesting to see, one, how they censor that, and two, how the audience is going to react to that, because that's insane.
Yeah, this show, I think that they've done a good job of steadily increasing the boldness of their themes and topics, because they've done it gradually. Like, we could have never we could have never appreciated the violence in the overhaul arc unless we dealt with the family drama with Shoto, unless we dealt with some of the things we saw in season three. You know what I mean? I think they've done a good job of easing us in. Like, if we didn't have the whole hostage arc with Bakugo,
yeah,
and the whole fall of the symbol of peace, like they've handled tough subjects, and because they've done it gradually, I think that's why we're ready now to see it develop to the point where when it gets to the Shigaraki arc, to the point where we see the Hawks murder the murder of Twice. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's building up to that. And I think Horikoshi has, I think so far, at least in the manga, he's had a good measure to know how far he can go without losing the attention of his audience.
Speaking of how far he can go, how much longer do you think Deku can even throw a punch? Because they said he can only break his arms like maybe one more time before he can't use them at all. So do you think Deku is going to have to keep holding back and keep using shoot style, or?
I have a feeling, I don't know why, but I have a feeling that that's not going to become a problem. I have a feeling that there's got to be somewhere where within his quirks or something with One For All, it strengthens his body. There has to be.
Do you think one of those other quirks is going to be like a regeneration quirk?
Not a regeneration quirk, but I think that the fortitude of his body, similar to All Might, mm-hmm. is going to be there.
So unless
he suffers an All For One level impact like All Might did.
Yeah, that's what I like about him having those extra powers, though, because even if he'll never be able to have that level of strength, him having Danger Sense and Black Whip still makes him Spider-Man, which is a pretty good hero.
Yes.
I would argue that he's sort of like Batman meeting Spider-Man in a sense in terms of the characters right now.
Not only that, I don't know why, but am I the only one that has a feeling that Deku is Horikoshi himself expressing his favorite superheroes?
Yes, this series, that's pretty much all this series is. Horikoshi said he is a huge fan of Marvel and DC Comics, and that affects his writing. And so I think Avengers Infinity War happened, and that's how we got this arc.
but not only that, though. I mean specifically the character of Deku.
Oh, yeah, that definitely, because... Yeah. Like I said before, his origin is a little bit of Steve Rogers. His personality and the way he thinks is kind of like Batman. His power set is becoming like Spider-Man and Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he's getting a little bit of everything. But I like how he does it in a way that it doesn't feel overbearing. I mean, he's Dr. Horikoshi for a reason.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a fanfic.
Correct. And I think it has to do because, like my good partner always says, slow and steady wins the race. Right, Isaac?
Yeah.
So exactly. I think he's done a great job. This is awesome, guys. I can't wait to read more of this manga. I need it now. Now!
Yeah, especially this next chapter. I assume it's just going to be the aftermath of this muscular fight.
Yes. I just hope that we don't cut to something else, and I want to see what Deku does after the fight.
We're going to have to cut back to the Todoroki family again, so I wouldn't be surprised if we do that.
Yeah. True. Okay, guys. We've done it. We have covered Attack on Titan. Oh, wait, what? What? No. Cut. We have covered My Hero Academia.
Now, you could leave it in because we did cover Attack on Titan more than I anticipated.
True. we had a great conversation about the anime. We had a great conversation about the manga. And we will be covering My Hero Academia every week. So stay tuned for more episodes of the Amateur Otaku covering My Hero Academia. Again, Mike, we welcome you to the Amateur Otaku family. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Pleasure being here, guys. Looking forward to doing this every week.
Where can we find you in the web, brother?
You can find me on Twitter at NoviceCinephile and on Instagram and Facebook at TheNoviceCinephile. You can also find me on YouTube, again, NoviceCinephile. Haven't posted in a couple weeks, but we'll have an episode on Avatar The Last Airbender Season 4, which was a thing that almost happened. So if you're interested in finding that out, just check out my YouTube channel.
Cool, cool. Nice. Isaac, where can we find you, my brother?
Well, you can find this Punisher over at Punisher's work over at Warbomb Entertainment, and you can find me over at Twitter on Emblemaniac, like you see below my profile pic.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheScarletFan52, on Instagram at TheScarletFan52, and on Facebook as Brandon Alvarado. I write poetry, write songs, do a crazy amount of stuff, and sometimes I write awesome articles at Warbomb Entertainment. And you can find the Amateur Otaku Podcast on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to our channel, like this video, and click on the bell for notifications so you don't miss any streams, you don't miss any episodes. Also, follow us, follow podcasts on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher, where all podcasts are found. The Amateur Otaku is there. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your support. Have it awesome, guys. We'll see you next week.
Plus Ultra.
Peace.